And everything, but you look this way and you see body of Christ, and you are truly a body of Christ. Now I have a little gift from Church of God's Grace, Pastor Jeremy. This is for you. I'm going to come down, and I want to thank you again personally.
Thank you for everything,
brother. You have amazing pastor who serves with all his life. Thank you. Thank you so much. Amazing privilege to be back here for me. We're going to be in the book of Romans this morning. Chapter 10, verses 8 to 15. Book of Romans. The title of today's sermon is this: By the Word of God through the voice of men. By the Word of God through the voice of men. Let me pray. Lord, you hear us. You're here with us. God, I pray that every soul in this room now is able to shut down and shut off the voices of the week, the voices of this morning or last night, and let us all hear you. God, I know we came with the luggage and with so many different circumstances and hard circumstances. So God, quiet those, please. Let us hear you. We love you. We need you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. According to Greek historian books, 490 before Christ, Athens, Greece, a man running from town called Marathon, Greece, enters the Greek Senate, interrupts the session, and delivers three words that changed Greek and European history. Those words were, "Joy, we won." And then he dies. This man, who was running for 22 miles with no rest, break or stop, was carrying the good news of a Greek military victory over the mighty Persian army, which was invading Greece and Europe. In town of Marathon today, you can find a sculpture dedicated to this man. And of course, Marathon running, we know what is that name for. But today, we're going to be talking of a different kind of message. The good news of a victory that had affected and changed the world for eternity. We will be talking about a news that has direct impact in our communities, towns, families, neighborhoods today. It has impact today. The news that still needs to be proclaimed to the broken and invaded world around us. Because brothers and sisters, the world around us is invaded by evil, by sin, by brokenness. And that world, it's still waiting for that good news that me and you are enjoying this morning. Let's read Romans 10, 8 to 15. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth and that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him on whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Amen. Background, a little background story of Romans. Apostle Paul is writing a letter to the church in Rome. He had never seen these people. He had never met these people, but he heard about their faith, and he's encouraged by it. The church in Rome was started by Jewish immigrants living in Rome. They had probably heard the gospel at the Pentecost in Acts 2, and now they are living in the center of the world at this time, the city of Rome. The power of gospel had worked through them, and the church was planted. God had planted church in the darkest city. Paul, who never met this church, again, he's writing this letter to introduce himself and his ministry before he would meet them. And he's encouraged to see God works through the world, through the gospel of his son. In this section of chapter 10, Paul is reminding all of them, but he's reminding all of us this morning of the gospel message, salvation through faith in Christ alone. And then he explains how God used people to continue to proclaim the good news. Main theme, main message today, if this stays with you, if this Friday, you write this down and you just spend some time on it, that's a victory, because we are busy. But main theme is this: through ordinary people who live and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, God brings the hope, joy, and new life to the lost souls. Through ordinary people who live and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, God brings the hope, joy, and new life to the lost souls. We have two main points this morning. Number one, gospel only way of salvation, verses 8 to 13. Gospel only way of salvation. And number two, the amazing privilege, verses 14 to 15. The amazing privilege. Point number one, the only way of salvation. In the text we have seen here, there are two very important things that Paul is pointing three times in verses 8 to 10. Three times he's saying, mouth and heart. What does that mean? Well, by mouth, he's referring to what comes out of it, our words. And by heart, he's referring to our beliefs. What do we believe in? What do we trust in? But here, Paul is especially focused on how one sinner can receive the gospel message and receive eternal life. That's the main focus. If in these verses he repeats that our mouth, by our mouth we confess, and with our hearts we believe in what? What do we believe, church? We believe that Jesus is Lord, that he died for our sin, sins and that God raised him from the dead. We believe that Jesus is Lord, that he died for our sins, and that God raised him from the dead. Amen? The outward confessions with our words is a reflection of what we believe in our hearts. He says when we believe with our hearts, we are justified. Justified means justice have been served. We are declared or made righteous in the sight of God. When we confess and repent of our sins and trust Christ that he stood in our place and took the punishment that we deserve, we can legally stand pure and clean in front of God. Holy God. In these verses we have read, right here in God's word, we can see the door opened, given by God. To whom? To every man who is desperate. Every man who is lonely. Every person who is lost. Person without hope, without meaning, without purpose. Here we see the gift of God's mercy, pardon, salvation, second chance, new life given to all, Jew and Gentiles. In Mark 1:15, Jesus says, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." 1 John 1:9. I'm sorry for that. But if we confess our sins to God, he will keep his promise and do what is right. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our wrongdoing. See, if we confess our sin before God, we enter grace and forgiveness. We follow him. We are saved. And his word starts to dwell in us. So what happens? What happens when man or woman enters through this gate, this door? The most amazing thing happens, brother and sister. You, ordinary man, ordinary woman, you become a voice of God. You become a messenger, body of Christ. The living gospel that has saved you is now given to you and dwells in you. In verse 13, Paul closes this part. I'm sorry, what am I doing? Something wrong? I gotta start moving. Stop moving. In verse 13, Paul closes this part of his plea to believe in the gospel with the words, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." And in the next section, verses 14, 15, he asked several questions to the reader that will get us to see how God is using his church, believers in Christ, from the verses we have just read, to take the gospel. I don't know. Okay, I'm sorry. It's actually good, like, special effect. Yeah. Okay. And thank God. Yeah. So this leads me to the point number two. Amazing privilege. The privilege to go and share the gospel. Well, God had sent us, my family and I, ever given to mankind. You possess the treasure in the jar of clay. The mystery of the gospel lies in you, and you are called precious child of God. You are called to proclaim the hope you have in Christ. May God give you boldness, faith, and perseverance to do so. God's word, Holy Spirit, dwells in us. And listen to what God's word says about those who proclaim the gospel message. Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Remember the importance and effect of the good news of that Greek man from beginning of sermon. Those three words. The good news of victory. Victory. I was preaching last 3 years in Croatian, so you got to give me extra grace. Those three words of good news of victory done by man. Remember that? Well, I pray that all of us understand the importance and the effect of the good news you are carrying in your hearts. Three words that Jesus had spoken on the cross. It is finished. The good news of victory done by God himself for every single man, woman, and child who repents and follows him. The gospel of Jesus Christ is victory of eternal salvation, freedom, and hope that can never change. No matter how bad it gets, it can never change. Dear church, I pray that we will have passion, zeal, sense of urgency, and sense of importance like that running Greek from the beginning. So how does this privilege, beauty, and blessing, what we just heard about, looks like? Well, personally, Jen, myself, our six children, we are ordinary people. I am not a super pastor, great theologian, mighty preacher. I am an ordinary dad and her husband. But I am a wretched sinner saved by grace for eternity. And because of that truth, my life does not belong to me. It was bought with the blood of Holy God. And everything I am and everything mine belongs to him. It's all his. He created me. He saved me. He gave me a new life. And he had placed that gospel in my heart to share. And when I had obeyed that command, I have seen and witnessed with my own eyes, miracles, and mighty hand of God in person, saving his children. And when I asked those questions in verses 14 and 15, as the Lord was leading us to go back to Croatia after 15 years in the States, I knew the answer to those questions Paul asked in regards to my call to Croatia. And it convicted me. How will the Croatian believe in the one they have never heard? Who will tell them the gospel? And who will bring the gospel to them? I didn't have to ask any further. I knew I was being called to them. Let me share something with you. And their response those Croatian people every time was, I have never heard this before. It wasn't Mary and Jen. It was God working through obedience. And that was amazing privilege and beauty to witness effect of gospel among people in Croatia. Before I share some slides about work in Croatia, I want to remind you of something. Dear church, you are already placed on a mission field. Right here. Soon as you leave that church door, there's brokenness, there's darkness. People are desperate right here in your town. So I want to encourage you to pray. Pray to the Lord of harvest, God Almighty, to save your neighbor, your co-worker, your boss, your sister, your brother, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter. And you know what? Do not be surprised if you are the answer of those prayers. That's how it usually works. I'm going to repeat the main theme. Through ordinary people who live and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, God brings the hope, joy, and new life to the lost souls. Hebrews 12:1-2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking where? Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Let me share some work in Croatia. Well, 2005, God had called us to go back, to share a gospel and establish a local church that will bring saints home. Next slide, please. Croatia is in Eastern Europe. It was ex-Yugoslavia. And Croatia went through the War of Independence in the 1990s. This was a five-year war. Maybe some of you remember those scenes. This war devastated country, economy, moral, just really devastated the whole, the culture structure. People right now, if you can have a word to describe state of people in Croatia, is hopelessness. Corruption is so high. Economy is destroyed. And unfortunately, young people are leaving the country for better chance. They're usually going to Germany or England or so on. Now, Croatia is 90% Roman Catholic and 0.35% Evangelical Christian. So 90% Roman Catholic and 0.35% Evangelical Christian. Next slide, please. Thank you so much. You guys are such a gift. Behind the curtains, heroes, man. So after 15 years living in States, living my American dream, and we really lived to the fullest, we had our children born here, we had a great careers, we had a home with a pool. It was sweet. But in 2016... our sending church, Christ Community Church, sent us out. And since we landed in Croatia, we just hit the streets. We started sharing gospel. We shared the gospel with over 100 people, more. We had privilege of discipling families for months. The whole family would come, we would share the gospel, and then they would invite us to their home, make meals, and this will last up to 8 hours. Now again, it was Jen, myself, and four, and then a newborn, you know, relatively young family. And the interesting moments there. But privilege was this also. After discipling and spending time with those families God had placed in our path, we have seen, next slide please, God saving his children. And then we had privilege later on of baptizing his children. And this is one of those moments where you look back and you say, God, you're a good God. That's a soul saved for eternity. Next slide, please. That's a special moment. Now, after 1 year in Croatia, God has led us to this city of Zaprešić. It's 60,000 people, no evangelical church. It's connected to capital of Croatia, Zagreb. And it's just an amazing place. No evangelical, no gospel presence in the city. Again, I'm going to repeat, 0.35% evangelical Christian. Next slide, please. So, from church planting international alone with six kids, I'm going to repeat it again. From being alone with six kids trying to do a church plant overseas, God had brought a team, a local team, to come and join us. Drago and Vesna, they are actually living in that city we are planting right now. God saved them 15 years ago through a missionary passing through, and for 15 years they were praying for church. So things we are enjoying every Sunday, Thursdays, Wednesdays, they just saw it on TV and praying. And after 15 years, God sent us. This is what it is, you know. So right now, Drago is our worship leader. He's a talented musician, and they did not miss Thursday or Sunday for the last 2 years. The other couple, Dragomir, Dragan and Brankica, we met them a couple of years ago. They have 3 children, and God worked on their heart to move closer to Zaprešić and to work with us. And then also we have Daniel and Caitlin, a family from our church, Christ Community Church. They came a year ago after fundraising for 3 years, and they just want to be Croatian and love Croatians and share the gospel with them. And they're doing amazing, amazing job. So there it is, a local team. Next slide, please. In the same time, so when we started reaching Zaprešić, God had provided this space, our church, in the center of Zaprešić. So this space was ex-hair salon. It was in the bottom of this huge, you know, those old gray communist buildings with like just a ton of apartments. Well, this place is right there in the middle of it, surrounded with those buildings. So what this location provided was every Thursday and Sunday when we have worship, when we have preaching, we open a door, we open a window, and we know there's hundreds of families hearing that gospel preached and sent. Same time, this location provided a lot of families from above apartments to just build trust with us. Again, we're not welcome there. It's we are considered a cult in Croatia. But now for a while, the families around us looking down and seeing, they're actually starting to come through the week, Monday to Friday, when I'm in a space, when I'm working. They come and talk Bible to pray. Now, they're still afraid to come on Sunday. It's a big step. But they're coming through the week. Next slide, please. So here it is. After 11 years of prayer and what God had put in our heart, God had started a church, a body of believers who love him and wants to serve him. Next slide, please. So for the last 2 years, every Thursday, every Sunday, Thursday care group, Bible study, Sunday service, and we have Sunday service is at 6 o'clock, which allows some of our members who are still afraid to leave the church, a Catholic church in the morning, you know, they go for a walk in the afternoon, and they find their way to our church. But every Thursday, every Sunday, I had a privilege now for 2 years to discipling this group. Our vision is clear. Our friendship is close. And we're just ready for the next season to go. Next slide, please. These last 2 years allowed us just to grow together and to just learn about him more and more. So now we feel we are just that sweet spot. We want to hit the streets even harder. Next slide, please. In the meantime, we became official. So in 2018, we were recognized as a nonprofit organization. This took 10 months. So 10 months of government refusal, denial. I tried, I think I opened like 50 doors, tried to open 50 doors. Denial, denial, denial. 10 months of paperwork, red tape, all of that. And finally, we were allowed legally to do what we're doing. We're able to share gospel and not be afraid. Next slide, please. In the meantime, also, we have translated several gospel-centered music songs. And this is especially sweet because, again, as we are doing our Thursdays and Sundays, and even obviously through our service, but just ability, we know there's hundreds of people listening gospel. So really, the worship before sermon, it's sermon. It's a gospel preached and teached to us through those songs. And this just became an amazing tool for us to be able to sing in Croatian language. Next slide, please. Now, challenges. Yeah, well, I just shared a lot of fruit. But let me tell you, there were some challenges, and there always will be. Next slide, please. Since we landed in Croatia, we were kicked 3 times out of our home. We were homeless for 2 months. Our last landlord forbid us to have any guest, any visitor in our home. And 1 month before my son was going to be born, Ivan, a landlord calls me and says, you have 1 month to be out of the home. Now, there is no rentals in Croatia available. There is down south for tourism, but up north, it doesn't exist. So this was, this road of 3 years, let me tell you, this were the hardest 3 years of my life, by far. And in the same time, this were the sweetest 3 years of my life. And I can't explain you how it works. Just as. But also, I was trying to apply to several banks to get a mortgage to buy, so we're not being kicked out again for what we do. 6 banks denied me. And the reason, my credit is great, we have a pay, everything is good, but as soon as it comes to my job description, evangelical pastor, that would be it. So 6 banks denial. At the same time, Jen, because I have a dual citizenship, I have American and Croatian, she was able to get a Croatian citizenship, but she kept being denied for now 3 years, which caused, again, a lot of hard ways for us to figure out ways. A lot of our members in the church are paying a big price for being Protestants in the Catholic land. Again, the Catholic Church in Croatia, it's just, if you're Croatian, you're Catholic. If you're Catholic, you're Croatian. It's just a part of national identity. It's not about faith in the Catholic Church. It's about religion. It's who Croatians are. So we are just not, embraced their way. So we got a lot of those reaction. We got physical threats in our home. You know, that was hard. While I was doing a Bible study, Jen calls me, and the gentleman who's against what we're doing is at my family home, being aggressive, and I'm away. And moments like that, you pray. Also, housing situation, and then in the finances, the stability with finances. How is this going to work? How is God going to continue this? So those are some of the challenges. Next slide, please. But God. Praises in the midst of trials. 1 month before this trip to the United States. So we already decided we're coming here to share what God has done, to encourage the saints, to thank you for your partnership and Sovereign Grace partnership, because that's how we're able to do this. So 1 month before we came here, the bank number 7, last bank in Croatia, approved us for mortgage. In the same month, Jen got her citizenship. Talking about 11th hour. We were coming here to States not knowing where we're going to come back. Where are we going to go with our stuff? Again, as a dad with 6 children, these moments. But God. And also, we went to Croatia with 4 children. And God blessed us with 2 more on the field. That's an amazing gift right there. Now also, that's increase of heat right there. Next slide, please. So as we reflect these last 3 years, what can you say? We have seen people getting saved, baptized, church established. It's an amazing privilege to be a part of what God is doing in Croatia. That's all I can say. To see church being established in such a dark area and know that God used your obedience. We're just privileged. It's very hard, very challenging, but we are very privileged to be able to do this. So again, dear church, next slide, please. I want to personally thank you. In my name, my family name, thank you for your partnership. Thank you for your prayers. We couldn't do this alone. God is good. And God is working through his church, like we heard. In the same way, God has you exactly where you need to be. In the mission right here. The need is the same. The sin is the same. Desperation of those lost people outside is the same. It looks different. So again, thank you for your partnership. Now we have a board up front. If you want to sign up for a newsletter, we would love to keep you posted what God is doing. Again, thank you for your partnership and thank you for your prayers.
Mario, in just a moment, we want to take an opportunity to pray for you and pray for your family. But we first want to say thank you for coming and choosing to spend time with us. There's a lot of places you could be this morning. You and your family are here with us, and we're really grateful for this live update. So can I ask you a couple questions, and then we're going to go pray in a moment. So how long have you and Jen been married?
17 years.
17 wonderful blissful, years. Glorious years. Yes, okay. And 6 children.
Yes.
How do you find time for yourselves?
Puh. What's that?
What's that? Yeah.
You know, it's a challenge. We're trying. It's just desperation for the Lord daily, and he gives peace.
He does. Yes. He does. Good. Tell us something your family enjoys. If you have a day when you can take some time to be with family, just give us an idea of something that you enjoy doing.
What do we like to do, guys? Hiking? Huh? Play soccer?
Play soccer.
Okay. Cool. We were 2nd in the World Cup last year. Croatia.
Yes, that was...
Yeah!
Yes, and as you're sharing us with these pictures... Stories of the gospel breaking through. Can you remind us, you shared this with us when you were here in 2016, But I just wanted everyone here to be reminded of how the Lord, you shared a little bit of this. You had come to America from Croatia to pursue the American dream, right?
Yep.
You were a manager of a Panera Bread. Am I remembering that? Okay, you had a house with a pool, and things were rolling along really well.
Why
did you give that up?
You know, the realization of this is, like I shared today, God have saved my soul for eternity. And then he put in my mind just the image of faces of people back home. This is 2005. And it came in a question of, does anyone there in that country knows the gospel of Jesus Christ? And I try to think of people I know, and the answer was no. And then the next question came in a form, are you okay with that? Being comfortable on your couch in States, enjoying wonderful church and all these blessings, are you okay with that? And, you know, the answer was clear. I was not. And again, Lord blessed us for 15 years. We had a good career and good advancement. And Jen was able to stay home with the kids. She finished the college. But anyway, you realize that everything you are and everything you have is His. And if He's clearly directing us this way, I don't think you have an option. You know? And then when you make that step, and it was a hard step, don't get me wrong. 11 years we were seeking counsel and trying to figure out, God, is there a way to, you know? I mean, this is a big step. People are trying to get away from Croatia. And here I'm coming back with, you know, four kids at the time. And that's actually part of our testimony there, that it's really, people cannot understand that we came back. You came from America, here. But anyway, our lives are not our own. Mm-hmm. They're His.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, we do pray for you from time to time. We have updates and pray at our prayer meetings. But we're going to take a moment now to do that. In fact, I didn't ask him, but Richard, would you just come on up? Because you're someone who travels for the cause of the gospel. And in fact, I wonder...
Yes.
Okay. Do you guys, let's come down here. We just want to pray for you down here. Family, if you wouldn't mind joining. We just want to pray two things. That the Lord would do this mighty work in preserving and protecting, providing for you, but also that the Lord would just advance the gospel through your family. That He would bless you. He would bless the work of the church. And that He would do this great work. So, Richard, could you pray?
Oh, Father, the love that you have for us, it's so vast, and it's so compelling, and it draws us not only into your presence, but it draws us out to other people, for Mario, for Jen, for their family, the passion that you have placed on their hearts. To return home. Who goes back to Croatia? Man, we chuckle at that. And yet that's your heartbeat. And Father, you want to see just not a handful. You don't want to see just 100. But you want to see thousands come in Croatia as followers of Christ. And it would please you so much that would be a missionary sending country to affect Eastern Europe, Southern Europe, Middle Europe. And so, Father, would you be with Mario? Would you be with Jen as they proclaim the truth that your word would just multiply? And people would be willing to step away from their local church, their traditional church, into a living church. They would be willing to pay the price to say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. And even if it means my family turns their back on me, this is what I'm going to do. So would you use this family for that? And so, Father, when they return in another 4, 5, 6 years, There'd be stories to be told. And Father, stories to be told for all eternity. And I can't wait to hear what they will be. Bless them financially. There's a money cost here. And would you bless them in that new home, the church location? Would you provide for them? Having six children, I was one of eight. I know about clothes being handed down. Would you provide? And may there be great days of soccer and hiking. And may each one of the children come to know you, love you, follow you, and proclaim you, Jesus. And may they see grandchildren that would do the same. Father, we turn them over to you. Thank you that we could have a taste of heaven this morning by having them here in our midst. And would you bless them as they travel through the United States and as they return back home and expand their ministry for your glory, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, again, thank you so much. We're going to conclude our meeting here. Just a reminder to you that Mario has a list that's right out here.
For email, if you want to sign up for a newsletter, just put your email there and we'll update you of work in Croatia. And we have some prayer cards as well. Put on us in the fridge. We need prayers of saints.
Yes, if you can take a prayer card, put it on the wall of your house or somewhere where you will pray in your Bible, that would be great too. So again, may the Lord bless your week. If you want more information, come up and greet them. They're coming to our house for lunch, so we got a few minutes to spend together. So thanks. God bless your week. May the Lord give you grace to be that gospel witness that he's called us to be this week. We pray in Jesus' name. We go. Amen. Amen.